This is a download from the BBC. To find out more, visit bbc.co.uk/radio4.
Waterboarding is not torture, and it works. It saved British lives when it was used by the Americans. So says President Bush in his interview with The Times. He was asked whether he personally authorised the use of waterboarding on Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the man he describes as the chief operating officer of Al-Qaeda. Damn right, President Bush barks. And the information gathered disrupted terrorist plots at Heathrow and Canary Wharf. Now, that claim is not new, but it is striking that the president holds to it with such vigour, and particularly striking, as Sarah was mentioning earlier, when on the morning that human rights and China's abuses of human rights are in the news. Dr. Kim Howells is the former chairman of the Intelligence and Security Committee that oversees the work of the intelligence community. He is on the line from Cardiff. David Davis is former Shadow Home Secretary, and he is here. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Morning.
Kim Howells, can we just for a moment try to establish what we do know, or what is publicly known about the threat to Heathrow and Canary Wharf, because President Bush and his people have certainly referred to it in the past, but what's your understanding of what the threat was, whether there was a real plot that was really disrupted?
I don't think there's any doubt that there were real plots and that there are continuing plots now. Where I doubt what President Bush has said is that this, what we regard as torture, waterboarding, actually produced information which was instrumental in preventing those plots coming to fruition and murdering people, if you like.
That's certainly his claim, though, isn't it?
We're not convinced of that. It's his claim, and no doubt he'll go on making it. He needs to try to justify what he did to the world. We think waterboarding is torture, and I don't believe that the British security services, the intelligence services, ever had anything to do with it. But I have to say this, what is very, very difficult is to decide whether or not our intelligence partners, the people we get intelligence off from around the world, have as scrupulous an attitude towards this as we believe the British intelligence service has.
Well, that's the point, isn't it, David Davis? If an American president calls a British prime minister and says, here is a plot, it's aimed at you, we have this information, we're sharing it with you, the British Prime Minister realistically is not going to say, well, how did you obtain this information, is he? And nor should he.
Well, he may or may not, but in any event, he'd use the information. I mean, there's no argument between either Kim and myself or anybody else on this, that if you come by information, then you have to use it if it affects the security of your people.
What, and in this case, if it was achieved through waterboarding, we should be grateful.
That's a big step beyond that. No, and what we
why not?
Well, what we shouldn't do ever is encourage it. The reason that there are moral arguments, but let's actually take it on a basis that President Bush himself would recognise, and that is, does it work? I had a conversation not very long ago with a past deputy head of MI6 who was furious about some of these things that had gone on. He said, we never learned this lesson. In the Second World War, he said, the British intelligence services didn't use torture, the Gestapo did. The Gestapo got some information out of it, but lots of wrong information. We were much, much more effective by using brains, not brutality. And even the Americans now recognise that.
But the point is, on this single case that the president has mentioned before and now mentions again, he believes that it did have an effect, that information was forthcoming and it was used to stop this plot. Well, and if that is the case, then it's significant and important, isn't it?
No, it doesn't make it right. It's, of course, significant. It's interesting, but it doesn't make it. And bear in mind, he's justifying his own history, of course. But it doesn't make it right. And what's more, in this same interview that he did this morning, or was published this morning, he talks about being mortified about what he termed false intelligence that led to the war in Iraq. You know where that false intelligence came from? A large part of it, it came from the torture of Mr. Al-Libi, and then the illegal rendition thereafter. And that's the problem with torture. People under torture tell you what you want to hear. If you want to hear that Saddam is supporting Al-Qaeda, which plainly he wasn't, that Saddam has weapons of mass destruction, which plainly he didn't, then you'll get that information by torture. You'll get the wrong information, and it will simply be, and apart from being immoral, apart from destroying our standing in the world, apart from undermining the way of life we're trying to defend, it actually doesn't deliver.
Kim Howells, we have in a sense a sort of rest period now, don't we, because President Obama doesn't do these things, said perfectly plainly that he doesn't, but in the future, it is perfectly possible that a future American president will return to some of these practices. How does a future British government relate then to what the Americans are doing?
Well, the Americans won't be the only ones, of course. I mean, we've just had what looks like a very, very valuable tip-off from Saudi Arabia. We get a huge amount of intelligence coming from Pakistan. These are countries where there's a very, very different attitude to the way in which prisoners are treated in their jails, just as in China. We've no idea what intelligence services in China do to people that they want to get information from. And I agree entirely with David Davis that we have to do everything we can to try to dissuade governments from using torture, whatever it looks like.
Isn't it slightly hypocritical, though, to dissuade them and then to use the information anyway?
Well, that's the key question, Justin, because you can't ever guarantee that the information you receive, even from your closest allies, even from European allies, hasn't been obtained by abusing people's civil liberties or human rights in some way, because nobody can operate intelligence without secrecy. And that goes for every single intelligence agency in the world. And you have to balance this need for transparency, which David Davis, amongst others, have fought for, against the need of intelligence and security services, for example, to operate agents in very, very dangerous and difficult circumstances. You can't have transparency.
David
there.
Davis, have we the West, damaged the case that people are pressing David Cameron to make in China on human rights by the war on terrorism?
Of course we undermine that case. I mean, the interesting person on this is not me or Kim or anybody else over here. The person who assessed, gave the best assessment of President Bush's activity and his regime's activity was a man called Philip Zelikoff. He was the director of the 9/11. He's a Republican, appointed to run the 9/11 inquiry, the commission. He was then Condoleezza Rice's senior counsel. And what he said was, fear and anxiety were exploited by zealots and fools. That's how he described his own government he was a part of. And there were others like John Bellinger, other senior lawyers, who felt the same way. We destroy our own case. We destroy what we're defending if we use torture to do it.